Good morning. Man, I'm so used to saying good afternoon. Good morning. I'm really honored to be here at Hongdae with you guys for the Pulpit Exchange. And like my roomie, Pastor Susie said, I am from the Itaewon campus. I have been for about 6 years, so if you cut me open, I'm going to bleed Itaewon. But we are one house, so I'm really glad, you know, to be here. And I'm glad that Pastors Christian and Aaron open up this exchange for us to kind of have like a cross-pollination. So it's always a blessing to minister, but also to receive from different campuses. So let's jump into the message for today. If you guys have your Bibles, please open to John chapter 15. So we'll read the passage together, and I'll start off with the first two verses. You guys can read the next two, and we'll go so on and so forth. I'll be reading from the ESV, but you can read along with whatever version it is that you have. Okay, so John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Can we read the last verse together? These things I command you so that you will love one another. Amen. So the title of my message today is Abide in Love. And I want to share about some things that God has been revealing to me this year. And, you know, for a lot of people that I've talked to at our church, last year, 2016, was a hard year. Like, it was just an ugly year for a lot of people. Like, I don't know what it was, but God was just bringing up certain painful things and different patterns that he wanted to expose. And, you know, at first, I thought it was just me. I'm like, man, like, this year sucks. Like, what is going on? You know, but the more that I talked with people at Itaewon, the more I talked with people at different campuses, it seemed like it was something that God was doing corporately in our house at New Philly. And when it was announced that 2017 was the year of renewal, it kind of made sense. So I'm like, I could see how God was setting us up for this theme of renewal. Because like Pastor Aaron preached last week, sometimes you need to gut the whole house in order to renovate it, right? You can't just slap on new things here and there and be like, okay, it's good, it's new. No, God was in the process of gutting out certain things in a lot of us, so that we can be prepared for this season of renewal that we're now in. Well, earlier this year, Pastor Aaron also preached from this passage in John 15, and she emphasized how God prunes us as we are the branches, right? And if you remember, if you were here for that Sunday, we streamed the video at Itaewon, and she showed a picture of this this vine that had been pruned back like 90%. And as soon as the picture shows up on the screen, all of Itaewon was like, like, oh my goodness, that is so ugly. Like, why would a vine dresser prune back that much? Like, it doesn't even look like anything anymore, right? And so in my mind, I'm like, dang God, like, why would you do that to your people? Like, that's pretty harsh, you know? Like, there's nothing left on that vine, right? But for me personally, that was such a timely message. And since then, like, God hasn't really let me get away from this passage in John 15. And she emphasized the pruning, but there's a lot more to this passage. And that's what I kind of want to share with you guys. It's a very rich passage. And so today I want to point out the relationship that we have with God that's laid out for us in this chapter. Because as this year has been unfolding, God has continually brought me back to this passage. And he's showing me that John 15 has everything to do with renewal, with our theme. And so if you look at John 15 in your print Bibles, you'll notice that the whole passage is written in red print, right? And so when I was a kid, I used to read my Bible, and, you know, the black ink, I would kind of, like, skim through, like, okay, and then I get to the red, and it's like, oh, shoot, like, this is Jesus. Like, these are his words. I better pay attention. I better read, like, every single word, right? And so in this passage, Jesus is, he's having one of the last moments with his disciples before he leaves, right? And so he's saying, you know, you guys have been with me. I've been investing in you. You've been learning from me as your rabbi. You've been with me and I'm showing you things. But before I leave, this is the word that I want to impart to you. And so it's kind of like for the knuckleheaded disciples like Peter, it's like, you know, if you haven't been paying attention all along, you better pay attention now, because this is a word that I want to give you so that you can live by this. You can live by this word. And so the word that he leaves with them is for them to abide in him. And it sounds simple enough. Okay, abide in Jesus. Duh. Like Christianity 101, right? But in this passage, these 17 verses, he's unpacking what it means, what it looks like to abide in Christ. And, you know, I love the book of John because it's so plain, it's so simple to read. So a lot of times, like in the New Testament, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and there's like all these parables and imagery and metaphors. And the disciples are like, Jesus, what are you saying? Like, what are you talking about right now? And, you know, me as I'm reading, I'm like, yeah, Jesus, like, what are you talking about? But in this passage, it's really simple because he breaks it down, right? He's saying there's a vine. I'm the true vine. There's a vine dresser and there's some branches. Okay. Simple enough. He says, I am the true vine, right? He's saying I'm the source. So he's making it clear to them in case they're wondering how they should kind of orient themselves. He's saying, it's me. I'm the true vine. And as he's saying this, I'm the vine and you're the branches, he's establishing this connection and this relationship that God has with his people, right? And as he's doing this, he's saying, not only am I the vine and you're the branches, but my Father, he's the vine dresser, right? So this is who he is and this is what he does. He's the vine dresser and he prunes back the vines that are fruitful, like Pastor Aaron said, but then the vines that don't bear any fruit, he takes them away. So then he says in verse 4, abide in me and I in you. And so this is kind of what I want to draw your attention to today. This word abide is used 11 times in this one passage, in these 17 verses. And so it's like he's really driving this message home, right? It's a very simple theme, but it's so weighted in these few verses. He's saying, abide in me and I in you. So it's both ways. That's a relationship, right? It's one person and another person having connection, having fellowship. And really, if you think about it, he's not asking us to do something that he's not already done, that he's not already doing in us. And so this word abide, it's actually an invitation that he's extending to us. To abide in him. And he's saying, as I've made my home in you, now you make your home in me. And so the Greek definition that's used here for abide, it actually means to stay, okay, to remain. and to continue and to maintain unbroken fellowship with. And so he's saying, make your existence in me, and not just me, but basically he's saying in us, pointing to the Trinity, okay, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's saying, choose to stay in this connection. Make your existence in me. And really, I believe that this is a choice that we have to make, not just once when we get saved, when we accept Christ, but this is a continual thing that we have to check ourselves. Am I abiding in Christ? You know, when we're tempted to deviate from the path of connection, he says, abide in me. Come back. Make that choice again. And of course, you know, Holy Spirit helps us and he empowers us, but still it's a choice that we have to abide in Christ. And we're able to make this choice because through the death and resurrection of Jesus, we have access to God. And he's inviting us into that relationship and into that fellowship with him. And so we get to share in that. And really, in this passage, as he's saying, abide in me, what he's emphasizing is the relationship. And so the first thing that I want to share today is abide in Jesus. Okay, look at your neighbor and say, abide in Jesus. Right, so how exactly do we do this? It sounds good, right? Abide in Jesus, but what does this look like? Okay, so in the passage, Jesus goes on to talk about how we are to abide in his word and how we are to abide in his love. So he doesn't just say these things because they sound good, but he really breaks it down, and he also models for us how to abide in relationship, because he's saying, as I've been abiding with my Father, this is how you are to abide in me. And so, you know, when Jesus was relating to his disciples, he's not just walking around like some great philosopher spouting out this philosophy like, hey, this sounds good, take a piece of that, take a nugget of that wisdom. It's like he's actually teaching truth and he's modeling what it looks like to walk out this truth in the way that he walks it out with his Father, right? And so in verse 7, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So he's saying, if you abide in me, if you have that connection and fellowship with me, that means that my words are abiding in you and you can ask whatever you wish. And so really, there's no way that we're able to separate the person of Christ from the word of God. Because remember in the word, it says, in the beginning was the word and the word was with God and the word was God. So as he's saying, abide in me, he's saying, abide in my word, abide in that place of truth. And so if we think that, you know, we can live our Christian life and have fellowship with Christ, but not have fellowship with his word, actually we're mistaken. Right? And so we can't be out here creating our own truth. We can't be out here agreeing with anything, with postmodern this, postmodern that, and thinking that we're following his commandments in the word, because we're not. So really, to be in submission to the word of God, that is being in submission to Christ. And so submission and obedience is really what it means to abide. When we align ourselves, when we align our thoughts, when we align our behavior, our motives, all of these things, when we submit to truth, that is a part of how we abide in Christ. Yeah. Because he's saying, follow my commandments as I have followed the Father's. Do this as I have done this. It's the blueprint that we're able to follow. So really, we're without excuse. Like, we don't, Jesus, how did you? No, he's saying, like, this is what I've done, and this is how you are to live and abide. Okay, so in verse 7, the word abide, here it means do not depart. So he's saying, if my words do not depart from you, but if they continue to be present, if they continue to exist in you, ask whatever it is you want, and it will be done for you. So in the Old Testament, remember, God is constantly telling his people to keep my word, keep my commandments, bind them around your neck, keep the word at the forefront of your heart and mind. He's saying, do whatever it is you have to do to make sure that you're living as people of the word. Yeah. And so here we see the same thing in this passage in the New Testament. Jesus is saying, be people who abide in me through abiding in the word of God. And so when we really have a love relationship with God, we are abiding in Christ. And this whole passage, he's laying out a commandment. Like, it's not like a cute little suggestion, like, oh, you know, maybe you can abide in me if you feel like it. Today, if you want to abide, that's great. You know, he's saying, abide in me, follow my commandments. So sometimes, you know, we get so caught up in the doing of Christianity that we forget how to be, and we forget how to make our existence in him. So this year, God has been teaching me how to be. He's basically saying to me, you know what? You don't know how to just be. So I'm gonna show you what it looks like to just be. You're so busy moving around, squirming around, fighting me and fighting the things that I'm doing in your life. But right now, you're in a season where I just want you to be. Like, calm down, my child. Just be. Calm down, you know? And so for me, you know, God has really had to rewire my mind in a lot of ways, because people will look at me and be like, oh, Jez, you're so chill. You're so cool, you know. You, like, thanks. Yeah. I am. That's true. But really, if you could, like, monitor my brain activity at any given moment, it's like, so my whole life, I've struggled with a lot of anxiety and a lot of fear. And when those things have a hold on you, you're not able to just exist in this place with Christ, because your mind and your heart is always all over the place. But really, in this season, God is teaching me, just be. Make your existence in me. Don't worry about the doing. Don't worry about the going. Simply calm your heart, calm your mind in my presence. Right? And so, if we live this Christian life apart from Christ, going and doing and always serving and whatever it is that we have to do, the Bible talks about this actually in Matthew chapter 7. It's Jesus talking on the day of judgment, and he's saying, on that day, many people will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do these mighty works in your name? And he goes on to say, I will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. When I first read this passage, like, I was shook. I'm like, Lord, that is harsh. Like, those are some serious words that you're saying, right? But if you think about it, how easy is it to do things? How easy is it to continue to live our lives apart from connection with Christ? Because if you look at the things that they were doing in this passage, it says that they prophesied, they cast out demons, they're doing all of these mighty works. To us, we would look at that and be like, they were doing all the right things. Like, they were really on it. But Jesus, when it came down to it, he's saying, you knew my name, but you didn't know me. There was no connection. There was no substance behind what they were doing. And so it says a lot about what Jesus prioritizes. He's putting priority on the connection and the knowing and the being more so than the doing. And so if you think about it, they're really being indicted for self-reliance, because they weren't doing anything in partnership with him, but they were out on their own. So, but in our passage today, John 15, it says that we can do nothing apart from him. But it says that when we abide in him, that's when we're fruitful. So he's not emphasizing the fruit so much, but he's emphasizing this is the connection that we are to have. And out of that comes fruit, okay? And so there have to be points in our lives, there have to be points in our ministries where we stop and we allow our hearts and our minds to be confronted with this word. Are we abiding in Christ? Are we in submission to his word? Are we in fellowship and connection with him? Not just at the point of salvation, but constantly. And so it's in the place of connection with God that we experience renewal. And when our communication with the Lord is continual, your mind can't help but be renewed, because God is speaking truth that is challenging the very lies that we believe, the lies that we sometimes build our whole lives around, the lies that we get so caught up in. His word counters that and it challenges that. It says that the word is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It's able to discern the hearts intentions and your thought motives. And so the word of God really has everything to do with our thought life. And so Jesus is saying, abide in me and have my words abide in you. Keep my commandments because these things are truth. He's saying, make your plumb line this truth. It's my word of God. And so he's saying that out of this place of truth, when you orient yourself around the truth, then these branches will begin to flow and flourish and bear fruit. And so we are to take every thought captive. Again, that's a command. And we have the power to do that. And so Romans 12:2, it says to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We're all very familiar with that verse, right? Yeah. And so God has really designed our bodies and our minds with these built-in mechanisms for renewal. And so a couple of months ago, I went to Thailand with some friends for summer vacation. Amazing trip, such a fun time. Woo-woo. And so, you know, as always with vacation, I spent a lot of time in the water, okay? I'm not one to go to the beach and look at the water and be like, oh, it's so pretty, it's beautiful, it's peaceful, you know? I gotta be in the water, okay? So I'm getting in, and I'm gonna be in the water pretty much all day, to the point where people are like, okay, Jess, you know, get out the pool, we gotta go eat dinner. It's like, oh, okay, okay. You know, get out the ocean, we gotta go to the next island. Okay, okay, right? And so all this water, bad things happen. I ended up getting an ear infection. And let me tell you, I learned something about ear infections, okay? They ain't no joke. It's not a game. Ear infections are painful, okay? Painful. So the first day I got, not the first day of the trip, but the first day I got the ear infection, it was in one ear. A couple of days later, it ends up in both ears. So by the time I fly back to Korea, imagine the flight, by the way, 6 hours, with ear infections, it felt like someone was jabbing sharp objects into my ears, twisting it around, and just like constant pain for like 6 hours, right? So I get back to Korea, I'm like, never again, like this ear infection is not for me. So I go to the doctor, and he's like, okay, this is what's going on, I need to put you on antibiotics. I'm like, okay, that's fine, but don't put me on this one. I'm allergic. Had a bad experience in the past. Put me on this one instead. He's like, okay, that's fine. Sure, here you go. So the first day, I take my dosage. Everything's fine. I wake up the next morning kind of paranoid, like, oh, man, did I break out? Like, do I have hives? Am I allergic? Everything's fine. The next day, I take the next dosage. Everything's good. Checking it out. Okay, we're good. This medication is working. It's not going to be a problem. The fourth day, I wake up. Before I even open up my eyes, I'm like, man, these mosquitoes got me again. Like, they tagged me. I'm itching. I look down, and my whole body is covered in hives, okay? Like, not even, like, ugh, just itchy, red, bumpy hives. Look, some of y'all might be like, can black people even turn red? Yes. It's possible because my whole body was red, like bright red, right? So I have all these hives on my face, on my arms, on my legs, on my palms. I'm like, how do you break out in hives on your palms? Like, that's supposed to be like a safe place, right? No, everywhere. And I'm like, man, like it happened again. So it's like dead summer. I'm walking around in long sleeves, long pants, and people are like, what's wrong with you? Ain't you hot? No. You don't want to see what's under. You don't want to see my skin right now, trust me. But anyways, it took 2 weeks for these hives to go away. They're so itchy. 2 weeks for them to go away. And I think I'm out of the woods at this point. Like, okay, I'm good. My skin is clear. All right. Wrong. These hives left air pockets all over my skin. And so my skin had to shed off all this dead skin, right? So at this point, I'm walking around like a snake. Like, I'm like, this is disgusting. I can't believe my skin is peeling like this, right? And so I'm on Google, like, how long does it take for skin to peel off after hives? And it's like 27 days. And I was like, oh. But did you know that that is the skin's mechanism? It's a built-in mechanism that our body has to renew itself because your whole skin regenerates every 27 days. And I found this to be true because around day 27, 28, my skin finally cleared up, right? And so I was thinking like, man, wow, if our bodies have this capacity to be renewed, it's like, yes, we're aging. Yes, you know, we're getting older. Some of our body starts to break down. But still, God has put these built-in mechanisms for our skin to be renewed, for our cells to be renewed. And if how much more with our minds and with our spirits as we tap into that connection with God and as we bring our whole lives and our whole thoughts into submission with His truth, right? And so our inner man, we need renewal. And not just any old kind of renewal, not just humanistic renewal, you know, self-actualization, but we need true renewal, and that comes from the Word of God. And so renewal also, it leads to hope. A lot of us have been hopeless. We've been disappointed because of circumstances that God has allowed in our lives, because of failed relationships, whatever it may be. But God is saying that it's time to awaken again. It's time to tap into that faith that He has for us as we're being renewed. He's renewing things in us, and He's strengthening us. And so if you think about it, faith is supernatural. God is supernatural. If we're not tapping into the supernatural on a very regular basis, then how are we being renewed? We can't. We can't be renewed apart from God and His supernatural ways, His supernatural faith, and the Word of God. We can't have a chance to experience true renewal without that. And so as we're renewed, we're also sanctified. And so sanctification is really another form of renewal that we get to experience. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit in us, because it's not anything that we're able to do on our own. It's not anything that we're able to conjure up out of self, but it's something that God does in us through His Holy Spirit. He says in the passage, "Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you." And so when we abide in His word, we're cleansed, we're sanctified through the word of God. And if we allow the word to have its full effect on our lives, we can experience this type of renewal. It's when we set up a continual dialogue with the Holy Spirit, when we're aligned with His word, that's what it looks like to abide in Christ and to abide in His word. So in the passage in John 15, he doesn't just stop there, but he also teaches us to abide in community with people. Okay, so look at your neighbor and say, abide in community. So transformation and renewal come as we abide in Christ. And so in the same passage where he's teaching us, okay, abide in me, he also is teaching us how to treat people and how to love, right? And so he's saying, first he's saying, abide in my love as I abide in the Father's love. But then he's talking about the horizontal relationship that we have also with people, not just vertically with him and God, but horizontally with people. So in verse 12, he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." He says, "This is my commandment." So remember, this is the message that he's leaving with the disciples before he goes. First of all, he's saying, love me, love God, abide in me, abide in Jesus. And then second, he's saying, love people. And so it's not enough to just exist in this vertical relationship that we have with the Lord. I've tried it. It doesn't work. But he's saying, have both. Have the vertical and the horizontal. And so 1 Corinthians 13, a lot of us are familiar with the passage. It talks a lot about love. And it talks about, in the beginning, how we can be transformed and we can be so powerful and we can prophesy and we can have all of these gifts. But at the end of the day, if we don't have love, really we're nothing. And so Jesus is saying to love one another, but for us, what does it look like? Like, what does that look like in our lives, in our daily lives, in our communities, in our church? What does it really look like to live out this type of love? I believe that it's through relationships with people that we are renewed and that we're able to walk out this kind of love that Jesus commands in John 15. You know, recently I met with my accountability partners, and we're talking and we're sharing about what God is doing in our lives at this point in the year, because believe it or not, 2017 is coming to a close. And so, you know, we're talking about the goals that we've seen this year, the ways that God has moved in certain areas of our lives. And for me, I started sharing and I ended up complaining. I'm like, man, I feel so stuck. I feel so dry. You know, like, I feel like God's not moving in certain areas that I had hoped to see. And as they're listening, they ask me, like, hey, what was the word that God gave you for 2017? Like, what was your theme for this year? And I thought about it. I was like, I don't know. I was like, I don't remember. I was like, I know 2016, he definitely gave me a word. But for this year, I thought about it. I was like, he didn't even give me a word. And so then I started getting salty because I'm like, man, God, how come you ain't give me a word? Like, what's going on? You always give me something to hold on to, right? And so I was like, wait, something's not right. So then they're like, no, he definitely gave you a word. So I take out my phone, and as soon as I type in 2017, it pops up, and I was like, I read it out loud. It says, 2017, deserts will bloom for you. And as soon as I said it out loud, we all busted out laughing, because it's like, how could you forget that? Like, that's pretty significant, right, for God to speak this kind of word about your year. And I was laughing, but then I felt dumb because I was like, I can't believe that God gave me this word to hope and to hold on to, and I forget it. And not only do I forget, but I'm blaming him for not even speaking to me in the first place when clearly he did, right? And so at that moment, it felt like, man, if they hadn't been here to kind of like smack some sense into me, like I would have gone down this melancholy spiral of, God, how come you don't speak to me? How come you forgot about me, you know? And so it was in that moment where I felt like, man, I was able to be renewed in my thinking just right then through the power of having community, of having relationship with people who don't let me get away with forgetting about the words that God has spoken to me and the truth that he's given me for me to hold on to. And so abide in Jesus first, of course, but also abide in community. So it's out of our relationship, out of our love for God that we're able to connect with other people and to show love to other people. Because if we try to love out of our own whatever, we're definitely going to burn out. But he's saying, connect with me, connect with a true vine because I'm an inexhaustible source of the love that you are to give to other people. It says in verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. And so Jesus is already modeling this type of sacrificial love. Of course, when he died on the cross, he made the ultimate sacrifice, right? And so now he's saying, as Christ followers, as my people, I want you to continue on in this type of love. So verse 12, it says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And so maybe renewal is not as complex as we like to think. Maybe in some ways God is wanting to just bring us back to the basics of abiding in him and abiding in community, in relationship and fellowship with people. And there's something so powerful about simplifying our Christian walk back to these principles, right? Back to a consistent connection with Scripture and back to keeping in step with the Spirit. And so Jesus abides in us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And as we grow, we produce fruit that matures. And that fruit abides, it says in the Word. He doesn't just leave us to our own version of what love should look like, but he empowers us through the Spirit to love. And so Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit, a lot of us are familiar with this as well, right? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. But then verse 25, it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And so keeping in step with the Spirit, it means abiding in Christ and abiding in his word and not being moved by circumstances, not being moved by feelings, but choosing to stay connected to the vine and to live in this place of truth. It says in John 15, if you keep my commandments, then you will abide in my love. So he's saying this is truth. Truth and love flow out of the word of God. And when we keep it, when we hide it in our hearts, that's how we're able to love and to live in that place. But, you know, it's easy to abide in Christ and to abide in community when things are going well, right? When we have favorable circumstances in our lives where things are going the way that we want them to go. But what about when God allows certain things in our lives to shake things up a bit? You know, I went through a season not too long ago where I wanted to hide from God because he was bringing out all of these ugly issues that I had and all of these things that were deep things, but he wanted to deal with. But when it came out, I was like, man, this is too much. I don't want you to see me like this, God. And then a step further, I don't want community to see me like this, right? And so it's easy to kind of want to hide yourself and take a break, take a pause, kind of fall back when you're going through something. But I'm sure the married people in the room can vouch for the fact that you can't just ghost your spouse whenever something goes wrong in your marriage, right? Whenever you're having issues, you're in a relationship, so you're able to work through things together. And I feel like it's the same for us as we are living in community. As we're doing life together, we're able to work through things and lean on each other and share with each other and be vulnerable. And so to those of us who have been here at New Philly for a while, it gets tough when you're serving, right? It gets tough when you're trying to love on people, but then they do something, they say something to offend you, and it's like, okay, I'm going to shut down, okay? Or you're loving on people, and they end up leaving our church. They end up leaving, moving back home to another country. It's so easy to shut down and to be like, okay, I'm not going to invest in relationships anymore because I've been hurt, because I've been disappointed, because I'm dealing with this issue of abandonment. But I really feel like today God is saying that community is actually strengthened as we abide, as we choose to abide, as we choose to abide in Christ as individuals, of course, but as we choose to abide in love towards one another, that's how community is strengthened, and that's how I feel he wants to renew our communities today. And so someone told me, man, you always end up talking about community whenever you minister. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of true. It's never my intention, but I can't deny the fact that my life has been transformed through community and through people and through relationships that God has ordained for every season of my life. That's how I've experienced transformation. And I know that that's how God's worked in me and in so many people, even in this room. And for me, this is actually the longest that I've ever been a part of any church in my life, for 6 years. And so I've never stayed at a church long enough to actually go through issues or to be confronted by someone or to be offended by someone, because in the past, it's like as soon as that happens, okay, I'm out. Like, I don't need this. Like, I'm out. Like, that's it, you know? But to be in one community for so long and to go through those ups and downs, I really feel like it's in those places, those low moments, those difficult, strained relationships where God has really done a deep work in me and where he's really brought renewal and transformation into my own life. So don't discount what God can do in community. No matter how big, no matter how small, no matter if you're a part of Alpha or Omega, it doesn't matter. God has ordained certain relationships for your life in this season, and that he's able to bring transformation and renewal through people in your life. He says in verse 16 in our passage, he says, I've chosen you to bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. And recently I was listening to a preacher and she said that God hasn't cheated you, but he's chosen you. And she went on to talk about how, you know, sometimes we get into a season where we feel like we're waiting on God and he's not coming through on certain promises. It's easy to feel like, okay, I'm done. You know, I want to walk away at this point. But she's saying that God has actually chosen you to be there in that season for a purpose. and that he's using you, even in ways that you can't see it, even in ways that aren't apparent to you yet, but he's using you in that circumstance. And so in this season, personally, I feel like he's doing one thing in me, and that he's speaking one thing, and that one thing is to first abide in him, and secondly, abide in community. In Galatians chapter 6, it says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." And you know what? Sometimes I had a hard time with this verse, because I'm like, you know, how many times do we hear this? And it's like, if you're in the middle of enduring and being in something or being in a circumstance that's hard, it's like, you don't want to hear this, you know? But I really feel like God is speaking this word over our communities today. He's saying, let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season, you will reap if you do not give up. And I really feel like God has ordained certain seasons in our lives where he has us in a holding pattern. He has us in a place of waiting to cultivate those fruits in us, that fruit of patience and endurance, those things that nobody wants to learn, but you always seem to learn the hard way. It's like, man, really? This is what you want to do right now? You know, but I really feel like this type of fruit is ripened in adverse circumstances. Because when you get back to John 15, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. It says, by this, my Father is glorified. It's when we continue in that love relationship with God and with his people that we start to bear fruit. And that's where the world can attest to the fact that, man, those are followers of Christ. Like, these are God's people. And so this state of abiding in Christ and in community, it's not meant to be a miserable place that we are in. But if you look at verse 11, it says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. That my joy may be in you and your joy, and that joy may be full. So I just want to close with this one commentary that I read. It says, the joy of Jesus is not the pleasure of a life of ease. It is the exhilaration of being right with God and consciously walking in his love and in his care. We can have that joy. We can have his joy and have it as an abiding presence. And so he's saying that not only are we to abide and to be fruitful, but that he's given us joy, and that that joy is a full joy. There's nothing missing. There's nothing lacking when you're in that place, because he's overflowing you with this joy as we abide in him and as we abide with his people. So I just want to close in prayer. I'd like to ask Pastor Susie to come back up. Everyone can just bow your heads in prayer with me. You know, what I really feel the Lord saying to our community today is that you might feel like you're in a season of waiting, or you're in a season where circumstances have been hard, and you feel like maybe God is not coming through on his promises. It's been difficult. Maybe you haven't seen all the breakthroughs that you want to see. But what I feel the Lord saying is, do not grow weary in doing good. He's saying, don't grow weary in doing good, because in due season you will reap if you do not give up. And so maybe for some people here, you've been a part of our church for a long time, and it's been hard to continue in community. Maybe you've invested and you've been hurt, or you've invested and you've seen people leave. You feel like you're going through issues of abandonment, disappointments, broken relationships. I I feel like the word that God wants to release is to not grow weary in doing good, for in due season you will reap if you do not give up. Or maybe you're here and you're new to our church. You're new to either the Alpha community or the Omega community. And you're kind of wondering, where do I fit in? What's my place here? Can I even commit to this church? Can I commit to these people that I don't know? But I feel like the Lord is highlighting this word, abide. That as we abide in relationship with Him, as we abide in fellowship with Him and in fellowship with His people, it's from that place that we get to experience fruit and joy and life and renewal. I feel like He's saying, choose to continue to abide in Christ. Choose to continue to abide in community. And as you do, just wait and see what God is going to do. He says, ask what you wish, and I'll do it.